Beyond Athletic, episode 34.
And spiritually, without that inner drive and the awareness of how you give and take from others, you can't really be a complete person or a complete athlete.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are beyond athletic. Hello, everybody. So today is another game plan session. We have on Dr. Stacy Sims of Osmo Nutrition. If you don't know it, check it out. You can go to osmonutrition.com. She has got a wealth of information concerning hydration, nutrition, thermoregulation, and what it means to hydrate for the different sexes out there. So men and women, you should be looking at your hydration differently, just as athletes and people that are non-athletic or, for instance, just not working out as much as athletes, which can be sometimes up to 3-4 times a day. We've got to hydrate differently. And we've got to give nutrition to our body differently. So we get into a bunch of those things. She gives a lot of tips on how she likes to travel. Also, we get into that. She has studied all around the world. She has been an athlete in multiple sports. And I tell you all about that in this. You're going to love it. If you do, make sure you shoot her a tweet. I'm going to give it at the end. But it's at Summer Stack or at Osmo Nutrition. And remember, you can always tweet me. And I will retweet that to whoever was on the show. But just show some love and let us know that you're listening. A hello, a hi, a thumbs up. And if you can, leave a review on iTunes. Those will help this show get to many ears. And share this with one friend. Think of one person that this is going to benefit. And just shoot them a link to this show. Without any further ado, I bring you Dr. Stacy Sims. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for listening again. Ryan J. Owens here. Today's another game plan session where we give you knowledge to optimize your life. And one quick optimization is if you're not getting this automatically downloaded to your pocket, tablet, computer, and soon even cars, this podcast, to listen on the go, anytime, anywhere, just like the other 40 million Americans last year that were listening to a podcast, go find Beyond Athletic now in one of the apps in iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and get some stuff done while you're learning, because this is the perfect tool to multitask and also educate yourself. So today's featured guest is Stacy Sims, Dr. Stacy Sims. Why don't you set the tone? Let's share a personal belief and what it means to you.
There's actually two scopes of personal belief. The first one is really what scoped my academic and athletic career. When I started sport, always running around with the boys and, you know, the dudes that were peers and wondering like why I was a little bit different. And then when I got to university, asking the same questions to professors, and they're like, well, you're just a small man. And as I got through, you know, trying to answer questions for myself, it's not true. Women are not small men. We're very different from birth. We have sex differences. So that's kind of been the driving mantra in my career, both athletically and academically. And then from a personal scope, growing up military and growing up global, really encompassing and understanding people and taking other people's viewpoints and trying to understand their scope. So really taking a broad view of the world and having a lot of tolerance and patience and making myself grow in whatever environment I am in. And basically, you know, trying to to do no harm but still maintain my belief in becoming a person in that way, making a lot of friends along the way and really connecting on different levels outside of your usual bubble.
Yeah, I love that. Women are not small men and grow in any environment. So I want to give people a brief bio of you, but you've done so much. It's not going to be so brief, but I want to mention it all because people listening, you're going to get information from a source that is just so well educated and experienced in these different realms that it's unbelievable. So you ran cross country in high school. You went on to race crew for Purdue University. You've been an ultra runner, a triathlete, and you might still be a pro elite road bike racer. Yes? No?
I retired when I had my kid 2 years ago.
We were talking about her. What is her name, by the way?
Jera. J-E-R-A.
I like that. Ooh, I like that. I love interesting names. So you are a graduate of Stanford School of Medicine for your postdoc. You got your, you got your PhD at the University of Otago in New Zealand. I bet you that was beautiful there. And you can, I love your bio on LinkedIn, but you could call her an innovative exercise physiologist and a nutrition scientist of thermoregulation, hydration, and performance nutrition. That's definitely a mouthful. You're the chief research officer and the co-founder of Osmo Nutrition, which has products that are designed to address different unique needs for both genders of athletes and people in general. And you also consulted for, or also still consult for, elite individual athletes, some USA national teams, and you've worked with some elite cyclists such as Lance Armstrong and Andy Schleck in the Tour de France. So that's a ton. And so everybody listening now knows that they're listening to somebody who knows what they're talking about. But I have one question for you. Are you ready to game plan?
Yeah.
Tell us how you got into your field and what's got you most excited these days.
I started as a poli-sci French major and fell asleep in every poli-sci class and stayed awake in every exercise phys class and was really motivated to understand how the body interacts with exercise stress and nutrition to support it. And so through my undergraduate, I was always a lab rat trying to understand metabolism and physiology, and then going through my master's degree, really trying to dig into why women are different from men, like I alluded to at the start. And just basically as an athlete, having questions for myself and I wanted to answer for myself, and then having the availability to have labs and higher education to answer those questions. So my career has always been about me. Trying to answer questions for me. So I wanted to answer questions for myself. And then being a member of a team, cycling team, crew team, all that kind of stuff, wanting my teammates to be as strong as they possibly could, and taking my information and knowledge and applying to my teammates. And as I watched my teammates evolve, it came, I had to choose between a career and a marriage and keep racing. And of course, marriage came first. So I started really trying to help those who were continuing in their career, and then watching those young athletes up and coming and trying to get them to have good habits, because if you start with good habits, then they further your career down the track. That's kind of how I get into what I do.
Awesome. There's just a couple of things I want to point out for people, because one of the things with this show is not only to inform people educationally about how to be better in life, how to optimize your life, but you said a few things there that I want athletes to hear. You were in school, you're listening to, what was it, poli-sci, and you basically were falling asleep, and then you get exercise science, and now you're like, wow, this is cool. So you found something you're passionate about, and then you wanted to answer questions for yourself. You saw problems, and then you solved those problems by helping other people. And I think this is a great way to get into things, and also it turns into great businesses, like Osmo Nutrition, I'm sure, where you help others be the best that they can be. So what's got you most excited these days?
There's a lot of things. So from a career standpoint, really watching young women who are coming up and going, hey, this really resonates with me. I'm not a small man. What can I do to maximize my performance? And then getting their coaches to understand that too. I gave a talk to the USA Cycling Summit and had the floor, and you could see at the start when I made everybody in the room say the word period, and all the guy coaches, like, their faces were bright red, and then by the end of the talk, had them say it again, and everyone was comfortable saying it and understanding what was going on. And then getting people coming up to me saying, I'm going to implement this with my female athletes. So really empowering women through education and empowering their male coaches through education and watching that transcend into performance. And then from like a research standpoint, really looking at genetic expression through diet, like if intermittent fasting doesn't work for women, but it works for men. Why it doesn't work for women is because it turns down protein synthesis and turns up fat cell accumulation. So really getting down into the genetic aspect of how diet interplays on body composition and subsequent performance. So it's a little bit geeky, but.
No, I love it. I love geeking out. That's why all the podcasts I hear and all the research I do, I'm getting all into it. And then I come out and I try to tell my friends who are not at all in that realm. And they're just like, look at me with a blank stare. But, well, let's definitely get into that a little bit more and talk about for sure how women are not smaller men and the differences. But I just want to say really quick about Beyond Athletic. We have listeners just starting on their athletic journey. We have ones with multiple Olympic medals. So, but we're going to assume just right now that it's a clean slate, tabula rasa. We don't know anything, okay? Why can't both genders hydrate the same way?
So I'm going to be a bit pedantic. It's not a gender, it's a sex difference.
Okay.
Coming from the school of medicine and in the sex different realm, gender is a social construct, so you can identify as being a man or a woman, but a sex difference is a true biological difference. So that's okay. The XY. So when I talk about sex differences, it's really from that biological standpoint. And there are things like estrogen and progesterone that come on puberty versus testosterone. So testosterone, we all know, increases muscle adaptation and increases muscle size and that kind of stuff. But estrogen downplays that and also increases fatty acid utilization. It also changes water and fluid shifts. So if we're just looking at how those two hormones impact basic muscular contraction and development, as well as fluid balance, then just knowing that from the outset that men and women need to fuel and hydrate differently. In particular, when you have an upsurge of estrogen and progesterone in women, say about the 7 days before their menstrual period starts, they lose 8% of the water from their blood, and they also have increased sweat sodium losses and total body sodium losses. So taking that on board, then just a typical sports drink isn't going to work for a woman, and we already know it doesn't work well for guys. So just looking at the composition of a drink and how physiology changes between the two sexes is kind of the standard point of hydration as we know it in the media and in some of the scientific journals isn't optimal for both sexes. I like to say it's like a sofa bed. It's neither good bed nor sofa.
Yeah. I think you actually mentioned that in the one with Kelly Starrett, and that's where I first came upon you. And you guys talked a lot about hydration, and there were some things that I learned, and I said, oh my gosh, I've got to get you on. And then I did my research, and I figured out it's ridiculous, the knowledge that you have and the things that you're doing. And I think that so many people can learn a ton from you right now. And one of the things that I'd like to talk about now is that I think people will be surprised to hear what so-called hydration sources out there now, especially the ones, you know, being pushed commercially, actually dehydrate us or have other adverse effects. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. In our society, there's such a calorie carbohydrate scope. Like if you are low on carbohydrate, you're going to bonk or hit the wall or run out of energy. So a lot of the sports drinks, or I should say most of the sports drinks, are designed to replace carbohydrate first and then provide some fluid second. So a standard sports drink has between 6 and 8% carbohydrate solution. When you look at that from a chemical standpoint and a physiological standpoint, that concentration of carbohydrate is actually too concentrated to flow into the blood easily. So when you have a concentrated solution that gets into the stomach, the body works in equilibrium where there's an area of high concentration. It's going to pull water from other spaces to dilute it before it can proceed out of the stomach. And that's effectively what a typical sports drink does. And then when it gets to the small intestines, where 95% of fluid absorption takes place, this is where sugars can really come into play. So a typical sports drink usually has maltodextrin, fructose, and glucose in it. And maltodextrin and fructose are two sugars that are not very well digested in the stomach. So they pass into the small intestines and exert this large pressure. And the body responds to pressure by diluting it with water. So it takes water out of the blood and other spaces and pulls it into the intestines to dampen that pressure to deal with those sugars. So you're effectively dehydrating yourself when you're taking in these sugars in this concentrated carbohydrate drink. And that's the exact opposite of what you want. You want something that's actually going to flow and work with physiology to push water from the intestines across into the blood.
Yeah. And are there any other adverse, I mean, some people are just going to go, whoa, when they hear that, because I think too many athletes, they have no clue about that. I know at USA Volleyball, when I first got there in 2005, I mean, I drank more Powerade than I had ever touched in my life in the first week alone. I mean, let's not even talk about the cavities I got for the first time in my life from drinking that sports drink day and night. But so many of us still think that sports drinks are the solution. But more so than this dehydration factor, what other adverse effects could happen from, you know, these types of drinks?
I mean, you know, dental cavities and that kind of stuff, because it changes the pH in your mouth. And in the endurance world, people always expect to have GI distress at the end of the race, you know, bloating, gas, diarrhea, whatever. They just say, oh, that's the effect of the race. You're pushing yourself hard. But it's not. It's the effect of what you've been eating and drinking. So trying to remove stress by really watching what you're eating and drinking, in particular, eliminating sports drinks with that high concentration of carbohydrate and the sugars, is going to help eliminate that, you know, that GI distress across the board. And then the other aspect, if you're constantly bringing in this higher sugar concentration drink and effectively dehydrating yourself, you're never really in a state to perform maximally. Your tissues are going to be a little bit tighter. Your cognition is going to be dampened. Your reaction time is going to be slower because you're not optimally hydrating. It's not just the dehydration effect. It's how these fluids shift and where the fluid is shifting from that can also affect performance.
Yeah, so that's amazing. And I hope for a lot of foreign, we have a lot of foreign listeners. I mean, Serbia, for instance, the number two country in the world that listens to this podcast. And just to really simplify that for people, drinking these sugary drinks, these recovery drinks, and they have some that are terrible over here too, just like we have. Okay, so to simplify it for people listening, drinking these drinks can make you not only slower, but it can make you think worse. It can make your mental capacity much slower too. I mean, so not only is your body slower, but your mind is slower. And imagine how much of sport is mind, because your mind controls your body. So people listening out there, this is serious stuff to consider. Now, what would you say is the best time to hydrate? And what times could we be hydrating at the wrong time, let's say? When could it interfere with our body processing water appropriately?
So I'll back up just a step and kind of describe what hydration is.
Okay.
If we think about body fluids, there's no pure water in the body. It's a solution of electrolytes and amino acids and glucose and all that kind of stuff. And your body works on a solution, and it's responsible for a lot of muscle contraction and fuel shifts and this solution that's in your body. So if we think about hydration, the sports drinks, of course, like I said, they're too concentrated and they don't work. But plain water doesn't work very well either. Mm-hmm. Because you're just drinking plain water, you're not really maximizing what your body recognizes as the solution. So just a little bit of sodium in plain water is going to up the ante, so to speak, and allow your body to pull that fluid in. So if we think about hydrating throughout the day to ready us for sport, it's eating watery fruits and veggies. It's drinking mineral water that has some sodium in it, or it's making your own sports drink, so to speak, with 500 mils of water, 16 ounces of water, a dash of salt, and a little bit of maple syrup, maybe a teaspoon, because then you're going to get some glucose, you're going to get some salt, sodium, and you're going to get that fluid, and it's going to be absorbed. And you'll know that when you get into activity if you're hydrated or not. You're going to feel ready. You're going to be able to push the back end of your training session or back end of your race where it counts, because you don't have a drop in what we call the blood volume. We think about fatigue as being, in general, in the media, you think about fatigue as low carbohydrate, like I said. So a lot of people start feeling death legs or tired, and they're like, I need to eat. But in fact, what's happening is your blood volume is dropping, or the watery part of your blood is being used more for sweat. So you're getting less blood flow to the muscle, and you're increasing the amount of heat that's in the muscle through muscle contractions, and you're not able to get rid of that heat as effectively because you don't have as much water in your blood. So the muscle proteins denature, so you can't have a strong contraction. So if you're drinking a little bit of salt in your water, eating watery fruits and veg, and being very conscious of the water content throughout your natural diet, you're going to keep your blood volume elevated and reduce that fatigue sensation. So yeah. There's no real particular, you need to drink X amount of fluid before you go in, or X amount after, or you drink X amount throughout the day. It's maintaining a really well-balanced diet, and then rehydrating afterwards. And rehydration isn't just with clear fluid. A protein recovery drink also helps with recovery and rehydration, because protein helps pull water into other spaces too. So mm-hmm. It's being very cognizant of what you're eating and what you're drinking.
And while you're on actually the recovery drinks and that aspect, I also want to touch a little bit on the salt. Are there any salts that are like not really going to help you out there? And for the recovery drinks, are you saying that you can put, like, for instance, you could take your salt that you put in, let's say that pinch of salt, your maple syrup. So you could put those two things, and then you could have your protein source, and say, for instance, would you add like amino acids from like a hemp seed protein or something like that?
For recovery, it's all about increasing the leucine concentration in the tissue. So you can either use 10 grams of branched chain amino acids in a fluid, or go with a whole protein like the whey and casein combination. You don't have to add branched chain amino acids to the whole proteins, because it's kind of counterintuitive. They both give the same. Mm-hmm. And after exercise, it's a combination of potassium with a little bit of sodium, because potassium is responsible for all fluid compartment rehydration, where sodium is really just blood spaces. So during exercise, you need that little bit of sodium. After exercise, a little bit of sodium, potassium, and your protein.
And what's a good source for that?
You know, I'm going to say the best recovery food out there is non-fat Greek yogurt. And yummy. I say non-fat because it gets out of your stomach quickly. And then it has potassium, it has sodium, it has trace minerals that all go to help recovery. But if you're making your own, you can do a typical protein drink and then have a banana.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Now, I know you talked a little bit there about inflammation when you're saying like your muscles get hot. And how does dehydration play into injuries?
Your tissues are a little bit stiffer, so you're more prone to, tissue tears, mm-hmm. cramping. Cramping is a little bit of nuance. It's not necessarily related to dehydration, but if you have a smaller muscle that becomes more dehydrated and can't get the actual nutrients it needs in the blood flow, that can predispose the muscle to cramping. ACL injuries, all those kinds of things. The plant and turn injuries, those can all be related to stiff tissues and inadequate blood flow to the muscle.
Yeah. And speaking about stiff tissues and all of this and the adequate blood flow and all of that, traveling is a big aspect of an athlete's life. And so one of the things that I noticed later in my career is that it was really important to compress when I was traveling and hydrate, things like that, things that I wasn't thinking about before. How can we get this right? Because there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of things they say about this, but a lot of athletes just don't know basically how should you travel, especially if you're going by air.
Transmarine travel. I'm the queen of that. Compression tights for sure. Because the compression definitely helps getting up and walking as much as you can to keep from getting a lot of venous pooling or the swelling in the ankles. And then when you have like a 12 to 13 hour flight, having two protein-based drinks on the flight, again, because the protein helps with the hydration aspect, and then the amino acids counteract some of the jet lag problems that you have. So minimizing carbohydrate and maximizing protein. And then throughout the flight, drinking water with a little bit of salt in it. So just being, again, cognizant of what you're drinking. And if you have back-to-back flights, say you're flying from New Zealand to Europe and you end up 15-hour flight from New Zealand to JFK and then JFK over to Europe, then when you're in a layover, having some baby aspirin, so having one 80-milligram tablet of baby aspirin to help prevent DVT and kind of help with keeping your blood thin so it can circulate better.
Yeah, and for the people that are around the world that don't have access to all the cool little things that sometimes we have in America, could you take like a normal aspirin and maybe reduce, like, by cutting it up?
You could take just a normal aspirin, but and you don't have to cut it up. I always say baby aspirin because that's the least effective dose. So it's the least amount you have to take to be effective.
All right. Eating during competition, how do we get that right? Like, are there any basic keys? So what I'm speaking on here is you have started to train, and either, for instance, it could be like in Asia when I was in Korea. I mean, we would train sometimes for 3.5-4 hours and in an anaerobic sport, you know, but I mean, it turns into an aerobic sport. And so I was searching for ways to just survive after a couple hours because I would hit my wall. How can we survive during those 2, 2.5, 3+ hour times where we're training, especially in the anaerobic type sports?
So you want to really maximize the food before you go in. So you're having a good meal at least 90 minutes before you start. And then you can top up with a snack, 150 calorie-ish snack about 30 minutes before you start training. So you're going in pretty well fueled and maintaining your hydration throughout. So making sure you're drinking what we call a functional hydration drink. So that has a little bit of glucose and some sodium and a little bit of potassium in it. And then if you don't have the opportunity to eat some real food, so, you know, a couple of potatoes or a sandwich bite or something like that, just small amounts across the way, then using something like a glucose tablet or the European wine gums, gummy chewy candies that give you quick hits of energy to maintain your blood sugar is going to do a lot. But the critical factor is going in really well fueled, staying hydrated all the way through. And then when you start getting those lulls and going, oh my gosh, I'm going to hit the wall, and you need to bring your blood sugar up, using those quick hits of sugar that are not fructose and maltodextrin based. So not going with dried fruit, not going with engineered nutrition that has maltodextrin in it, because those can interfere with, like I said, your hydration status and your gut and your intestines. So you're going with glucose tablets, which are pretty easy. They're diabetic. You go to any diabetic section in a grocery store and you can buy glucose tablets or little kids' wine gums and gummy candies.
The gummy candy, you've got me right there. So, all right, what I want to do now is I want to get into a little section that's called your tip jar, and we're going to go through a bunch of little things where we can give people just really cool tips for, you know, traveling, your kind of like perfect recipe for this or that. Let's say not perfect, but... Before we do, though, do you have anything that you wanted to add to all of this, the main topic, or, for instance, maybe even on gut health, like you mentioned, how important that could be? A lot of people overlook that.
Yeah, the 2 points, really. I always say hydrate for what you're doing and fuel for what you're doing. So you hydrate across the board, and then if you have a short workout, you don't necessarily have to fuel during the workout if you've gone into it well-fed. If you're doing high intensity, then you rely on the quick hits of sugar. If you're doing long, slow distance, then you can have more mixed macronutrient food. So don't just ascribe by guidelines that have been put out there, X amount of carbohydrates per hour. Really look at what kind of training you're doing and how you can maximize what I call the back half, because that's where all your real stress happens, the second half of a training session or the second half of a race. And then the other aspect, like with gut health, we often forget that the gut microbiome or the bacteria that's in our bodies can directly affect our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. So it can make us anxious. We can't sleep well. If anything happens to disrupt that bacteria colonies in the intestines, then it can directly affect our mood, our cognition, our anxiety levels, our sleep. So eating whole foods, so you're eating prebiotic foods, which are fruits and veggies and as whole as possible, so at least processed as possible, and then putting some probiotic foods in like yogurt and kefir and kombucha, because all that's going to help maintain a proper environment for the gut that's going to allow you to decrease anxiety and sleep better.
Yeah. Another one I like to use is apple cider vinegar. Is that something that's good? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for it as well, but it doesn't quite fit into the whole pre and probiotic aspect, but it does help. Okay.
Good to know. So let's get into Stacy's tip jar now. And we're going to go through about, I don't know, six or so things. What would be, let's say, a typical breakfast that you would recommend in terms of a balance, let's say, not exactly what somebody should eat? Because like the last guest that I just recorded with was saying, everybody's different and you have to tailor things to your own needs. But if you were to say for an athlete, you're going out and you're definitely going to have two trainings that day, what type of breakfast and what balance would you like to have in terms of like fats and proteins and carbs?
So I'm going to just pick a couple of athletes that one is a vegan and one is not. So for someone who doesn't eat any kind of animal product and you still need a good balance of carbohydrate and protein, it'd be something like a big bowl of quinoa with some berries and some nuts, sprinkle of hemp seeds, and then some sprouted bread with almond butter. So you're getting a good mix of so you're getting protein and some, water component from the fruit, and you're getting some carbohydrate, but it's all pretty even keel, so you're not going to have a sugar spike. Then for my athletes who eat animal products, they can go something similar with Berkshire muesli, oatmeal that's soaked overnight in milk or almond milk, and then topped with yogurt and some nuts and berries, or even egg whites and yolks scrambled with some veggies over toast. So you're getting good protein with some carbohydrate, but nothing simple, because you don't want something that's heavy and you don't want something to spike your sugar, your blood sugar.
And are you throwing any like the fat sources in there, especially I know you said the hemp seeds and the nuts, but what other fat sources could you maybe throw in the morning?
You can do some avocado. You could do, like, depending on the country you're from, fish is a fabulous, like, lox on a bagel in New York. Or I know some of my Swedish friends like to have smoked fish for breakfast. You can do omega-3s, flaxseed oil. Some people like coconut oil, but sometimes it sits a little bit heavy, but you are looking for some of the more healthy vegetable oriented oils, especially for training. And the heavier animal type fats you want to kind of save for after training, just for the fact that they take a little bit longer to digest and they have a different impact on your total body system.
And since we're talking about the oils, just really quick, because I like to send people out a little oil chart just to learn a little bit more about it, but what about the nut oils? Like, how do you feel about the walnuts or the macadamia, almonds?
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're good ones. Okay. Yeah. All right. Your favorite travel buddy or tip, let's say, like, so your travel buddy is like something you would take along with you. You're just not going to travel without it. What would that be?
My iPod.
Exact same answer two times in a row.
I say that because in my early days, I did some DJing, and I am a music fiend. I love music, and I think best with it, and it just changes everything. So I really don't go anywhere with it.
And for people out there who are taking their iPod with them, the music aspect is fantastic because I'm huge about music too. I mean, I remember while I was traveling, I picked up something like 150 gigabytes, and this is back in the early 2000s, worth of music from DJs that I would find in different countries. So I'm with you on that. But now in this podcasting world, you know, it's great because you can download podcasts to learn whatever you want, or it could be about history, art, fitness, whatever, business. And you can have those on your flight. iPod's fantastic. So
yeah.
What's your recipe, would you say, for a healthy life, if you were to make it a recipe?
Being happy. I know it sounds very cliche, but the past 3 years of my life have been very, very stressful and hard. And I'm just actually coming off a hip replacement. So it was kind of a fast demise. And so I'm 10 weeks post-surgery, and just taking away the chronic pain and seeing the impact of stress on my life, my kids' life, my colleagues' life, and all the unhappiness that it brings. And now having that new sense of balance and finding happiness in everything that I do. If it's going to be stressful or it's not going to bring happiness, then I want to not do it. And I'm blunt with people now. I'm like, if it causes stress, then there's nothing in it for me. Then I don't want that energy to be drained from me. So if you go through your life trying to find things that make you happy, it makes you a better person, and it makes you so much more giving to everyone around you, even if you don't realize it.
Yeah, totally agree. I love that. And your favorite healthy habit?
Oh, sleep. Sleep and I mean, I love training. It's like the stress release and escape. It's my thinking time when I'm training. But without good sleep, you can't train well. So they kind of go hand in hand.
Very true. The first 5 healthy food items that make you smile.
Coffee, blueberries, and raspberries, and that would be about the 3 top ones.
You don't have 5. All good. 3 last things, really fast ones. A book you'd give away as a gift.
So you're going to laugh because you've had him on your show already, but I've been giving my friends Kelly Starrett's Supple Leopard book and the new running book because he has such great information. And I'm now at the point where my friends are all aging athletes, as we are, and they're starting to get injured and really trying to get them to take care of themselves in a different way that they haven't thought of. And if they're not my athletic friends, then I give them The Alchemist. I love that book. It's a double entendre because there's so many different things that you can get out of that book.
The Alchemist is a fantastic book. Paulo Coelho. A lot of his books, there's so many. But yeah, Ready to Run is the other Starrett book. So people, if you're hearing this episode, then Kelly Starrett's episode has already come out, and you're probably already pumped up to hear from you because I mentioned on there that we're having you on. So I want you to just give some thoughts, like define and give why it's important, thermoregulation.
Thermoregulation. So the human body has a very tight temperature control. I mean, your resting core temperature sits around 37.5 degrees C. And when you start approaching 41, that's when you can start having heat illness. So it's a very, very small window. And your body likes to stay in equilibrium. So the way your body deals with stress of exercise or extreme conditions is through thermoregulation, through changing constriction of vessels, through sweating, through respiration. So without thermoregulation, there is no human, so to speak, because your whole body works on laws of thermoregulation.
Well, thanks for mentioning that. I think that's really important that people know about that and they're thinking about that. They're conscious about that. Athletes out there and normal people and everyone else that's not like an everyday athlete. So before you tell us how to follow you on your journey and your projects and some info, I'm going to link up for sure everything about Osmo Nutrition, which is a fantastic company. I love how you're providing things for both sexes and making sure that people's needs are met on a level that other people aren't really thinking about because they're just thinking so just generally. And I love how specific you are with that. But before I let you give how you can be followed and people can connect with you, I just want to say being athletic means being more than only able to use your body well for people out there listening. And knowing that, Stacey, what is your definition of being an athlete?
So it's a combination of mind, body, and spirit. And again, it sounds very cliche, but being in the sports science world, there's not one without the other. You can't be a complete athlete if you aren't mentally strong and also aware of what you're doing and how your body fits in space and time. Physically, you can't really be an athlete without all the training components and the nutrition components. And spiritually, without that inner drive and the awareness of how you give and take from others, you can't really be a complete person or a complete athlete.
I love that. You can't be complete without mind, body, and spirit all working at the same time. So listen, how can people connect with you? How can they follow you?
Twitter is Summer Stack. Summer Stack, because summer and stack. And then also our Osmo Facebook page, and we have the Osmo Nutrition Twitter. So those are the three primary ways of following what I'm doing and what's happening in the world of Stacy Sims, the scientist, and Osmo Nutrition.
Awesome. And I love, if you guys get an Instagram account, let me know, because I'd love to be reposting things that you would be posting for athletes that are staying hydrated and staying healthy and being the most elite in the world. But if you're listening right now, make sure you tweet at Summer Stack to say what you thought about the show and show some love that way. But now we're wrapping up and we're going to go. And I just want you to know, my goal, we talked a little bit about elite sports students. My goal is to help and add value and impact beyond a million athletes around the world that are currently playing or they haven't even started yet, Stacy. And I want to help them become three-dimensional people that are healthy and happy, like you said, excel in all areas of life. And I just want to say that I'm really grateful for you taking the time and working through the issues technologically. We both had some today. For just taking that time to improve others by sharing your knowledge, because so often people have been so just kind of like, it's my precious, you know, like I don't want to share this. But you're enlightening people and you're really showing them that sharing knowledge can just really impact everybody. And you've created a product that solves health issues that are very serious. So thank you so much for your time and thanks so much for all of that.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. And we'll stay in touch about Elite Sports Students. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Wow, what a great show. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Did you like it? If you did, make sure you share it. Just post the link on Facebook or tweet it, email it to a friend. Help somebody out. There's tons of info in this. And make sure you're subscribed so you get all of the new episodes that are coming up. Anyways, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.
So now I'm up in the courts, pleading my case from the witness box. Telling the judge and the jury the same thing that I said to the cops. On the day that I got arrested, I'm innocent, I protested. She just feels rejected. Had a heart broken by someone she's obsessed with. Cause she likes the sound of my music. She makes her a fan.
What we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.